Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood One.
Terrible result, but great call.
They're all
even
good.
I was in there like, yeah, you go, Drake London.
tough morning for Perloff. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, the noted Eagles fan here. Still sort of absorbing, digesting, processing, grieving all the things that happened last night where the Eagles were leading, had this game won until they didn't. Left Kirk Cousins with a minute 39, no timeouts. They needed a touchdown, and they got it.
Yeah, I've had a little time. So the game ended at 11-something Eastern.
That game went fast, by the way.
I've calmed down a little bit. Somebody should have taken my phone after the game. That was a gigantic mistake. I said some things on the old socials that I regret.
Well, let's go find them.
Deleted them? Oh, yeah.
Oh, Harloff, you coward.
I hate that.
Me too. Nico booed you.
There's one tweet. I'm like, I don't want to call for a man's job.
Which man? Because I'm not sure.
Try to guess.
Well, you've been blaming Barkley. So here's what happened if you missed some of it. Here are some of the highlights slash lowlights, depending on what side of this you came down on. So the Eagles have the ball. It wasn't a particularly good first half for either team. Then things really picked up in the second half. Jalen Hurts started using his legs, and the Eagles got something going. They put together a really nice drive. Anyway, they're down basically inside the 7. Were they basically at the 7?
Ooh.
Something like that.
Well, they still could have gotten the first down.
Right. So it was 3rd down and 4.
Right.
And they're basically right at the end zone. Yeah, it was about the
3rd and 3, but
3rd and 3. I'm sorry. And they were at the 13, my bad. Yeah. 3rd and 3. They're at the 13, and you're under the 2-minute warning. Atlanta has burned all their timeouts. And I get it. The defense was stacked at the front of the, at the line for Atlanta, but for some reason, they designed a pass play for Saquon Barkley, and he dropped it. Actually, Nico, can we hear from Saquon here, cut 12, him talking about this very costly drop?
Dropped the ball. Let my team know today. Shouldn't have put the defense in that position. Made that catch, game over. Relax, went back to my old habits, and just got to go back and get back to work.
This one stings because Atlanta, they kick a field goal, they go up 6, and Atlanta takes the ball 70 yards. Kirk Cousins is amazing on the play. All of a sudden, all those offensive weapons that we've been looking for the Falcons to delivered, but partly, Perloff, because your Eagles could not get a pass rush, could not tackle in the secondary. I mean, and Drake London scores that game winner you heard from Kevin Harlan.
Yeah, it was all bad. There's a lot of blame to go around. Saquon takes a lot, but that's not who I would fire. Because you're not going to fire Saquon. He's there.
Yeah. It was a game-tying touchdown, and then the extra point won it. I'm sorry.
Right. Make the best of Saquon. I would run him into the ground. He's by the way, a very good player, obviously. He looked good last night. I was angry at him. I feel like he's not a clutch player because he caught everything all night long, and then he couldn't catch that one pass. Maybe a smidge high by Jalen Hurts, but he started to look downfield towards the defender. I think
nobody was afraid.
Well, there were guys coming in. He might not have made the end zone. He was going to make the first down. In that position with the clock is basically winding down, you have to secure the catch. Even if you get tackled, you had 4th down. Now, the other mistake, a lot of analytics people point out, 4th and 3, you should definitely go for it in that situation.
As opposed to kick the field goal to go up six.
Because then they would have been up 18-15, and the Falcons would have had a much longer field than they did end up having. As it turned out, the Falcons scored easily, leaving the Eagles enough time to score the game-winning field goal, which, I'll be honest, I kind of thought was going to happen. The Eagles have a great kicker. They got to the 40. All they needed was one more chunk play, run down, spike the ball, and they probably would have won the game. So it was it could have easily been one more lead change.
Yeah, that did not happen because there was pressure right up the middle on Jalen Hurts, and he ends up throwing an interception. So coulda, woulda, shoulda. No reason why the Eagles should have ever lost that game. But you're saying, who's the person?
Who do I want? You know me pretty well. Who do I want out of that building? Because of what happened last night.
Sirianni?
Nope. EJ Stewart?
I'm going to say you want Fangio gone. You're already done with him.
Done.
There you
go. Defensive coordinator.
Ding, ding, ding.
And that drive, as infuriating as the drop was, the more I think about it, that drive was the last drive where the Falcons, because they were just showing the highlights. We have a TV in the background here. The guys were wide open. I mean, I could have caught these passes. They were ridiculous. What happened to the Eagles' defense in that situation? The other thing is, EJ, you're a Jets fan.
Yes.
What's the deal with Bryce Huff? Guy they paid $50 million for.
Doesn't look
like he should be on the field in any shape, fashion, or form.
I don't know. It looks like he took that money and ran. I don't know. This
ran
is not
away from the quarterback.
The Jets.
Well, the other part too is
not towards the quarterback. That's for sure.
It's funny because the Jets keep getting skewered, and rightly so, because of the Hassan Reddick debacle. But meanwhile, they basically have the same stat sheet. Hassan Reddick's not there, and Bryce Huff's not doing anything. All right, here's some of Perloff unraveling on social media. I see what you're talking about now. Eagles loss on one player, Saquon Barkley, brought some of that loser energy down from the Meadowlands.
Oh yeah,
that was the one that was funny to me. Yeah. I was like, they did lose 3 games last year in the last 2 minutes without Saquon Barkley. So the Eagles have kind of been this team for a year now.
How about this one from Perloff? This would have been about 7 minutes later. Lots of Eagles smiling in post-game handshake scrum. Ugh, I'm out on this team.
Yeah, what was that about?
That's a great tweet.
Yeah.
What was going on in the post-game? Saquon's hugging guys? You go right to the locker room in that situation, right? I mean, this new post-game handshake, everybody loves each other. It's a little much. Maybe
it's
always been that way.
As a fan, I think that really annoys people. You could also, Tom Brady always keeps his helmet on or something like that, especially when he loses. I think there's a way to look like you're not having a good time once you just lose a game like that. But I think these players are it's only week two.
Yeah.
Got a long season to go. They're not like us.
Probably a healthier way to view it. You guys want to hear the one I erased?
Yeah, please.
I said if there's only one thing I want to hear from Vic Fangio in the post-game press conference, quote unquote, I retire.
Say I resign. I resign as DC of the PHI. Nod to Belichick.
Am I taking this all? It is, you did mention it's a week two game. There's a long season ahead of them. Am I taking this too seriously?
No. You're taking it the appropriate amount of serious, because if you still think the vibes are off, something that Jason Kelsey in a quarter and a half in the Monday Night Football booth could not acknowledge or explain. We got the ESPN sort of expose for that about how bad the vibes are. If you're still seeing that same thing, of course you'd be panicked. You're not just talking I can see it in you. You're not an alarmist. This is not about one game of a regular season.
Right.
This is 2023 that you feel like you're reliving.
Yes, and to me, the key thing that happened in 2023 was the defense got so soft. Now, Jalen Hurts was back to the old form, so that was exciting and good.
In the second half,
he was running the ball. And I think the fact that the Giants and the Commanders are probably going to give both the Cowboys and Eagles a bunch of easy wins, that is good, but generally, the ceiling is lower now. I just don't feel like this team, even in a beat-up NFC. The NFC, by the way, is all of a sudden a mess. The Eagles and the Cowboys look vulnerable. The Niners have all these injuries. The Rams have all these injuries.
Meanwhile, the Saints are out here looking like the greatest offense ever take a football field.
The three scariest teams are the Bucks, the Saints, and the Minnesota Vikings.
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I just don't. I think the NFC is shaping up to be a weird one this year.
Yeah, the Lions had a bad loss.
Yeah,
I mean, at home,
the Lions might be okay.
Packers, we'll see how they can hold the fort.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers are, listen, you're right. It's week two. I was killing people for overreacting last week. Now, it does feel like an overreaction, but the NFC seems up for grabs, specifically because the Niners, everybody's hurt. I think that's the one serious contender that a defending NFC champion. So a team like the Eagles can step up and fill that void, but last night they refused to do so.
And then on the Atlanta side of things, whew, sigh of relief there. Kirk Cousins looks like he might actually be worth all that money. So that's number one, engineering a game-winning drive on Monday Night Football, a place that he has notoriously struggled. It looked really good. Now, maybe helped out a little bit by the Eagles' defense. But I thought if they go 0-2 after how they lost to the Steelers at home and then losing to the Eagles on the road, I thought you would have started to hear the Michael Penix stuff. That is now going to be quieted. It would have been people like me and you, quite frankly. That's quieted now for a week. And I think everyone can just sort of take a deep breath. Now, the problem is for the Falcons, you can only enjoy this for so long because it's a short week, and then you play the Kansas City Chiefs next week.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting because their schedule's so hard in the beginning of the season. Then it gets easier. Kansas City, they could go to 1-2. They can definitely afford that. Then the showdowns, the Saints and the Bucks. I think those three teams are really close right now, which I really wouldn't have said coming into the season. But
are we getting two teams from the NFC South?
Oh my God!
Into the playoffs?
Is that possible? We should do something to celebrate that. Like
like what?
Go to a Waffle
Dirty
House.
Bird? Oh, you brought that up.
I mean, yeah. NFC South Waffle House, that would fit. If two teams from the, maybe I'll join you at the Waffle House and eat a bunch of food. If two teams from the NFC South, do you want to tell people the bet just in case they forgot?
Sure.
I know you're trying to forget.
I am trying to forget. I lost a bet to Perloff about Dak Prescott's contract, and I have to go sit at a Waffle House for 24 hours. And every waffle I eat, I get to take 1 hour off the time. But that's still a lot of waffles or a lot of sitting.
Was there a date picked for that yet?
Not yet.
Yes. We have a big bet to pay off. I have to drive to San Antonio, by the way.
Yes.
Which is proving to be more challenging than I thought. It's a long way away.
Well, you were dying to go.
You wanted to go to Chicago and then drive down from there.
You wanted to add 3 hours to the road trip just by going through Chicago to see friends. But yes, it's a long way to go. And you've chosen to do it solo, which I also think was a mistake. Bogish wanted to go with you, and you're like, no, I don't want to listen to Dave Matthews Band. But now, wouldn't you like a little of that companionship? Because it ain't going to be me. I don't do road trips.
I don't want to go with anyone.
All right, well, you're going to be alone with your thoughts thinking about how the Eagles season's going off the rails. that could be a lonely drive, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean,
EJ can't go. His knee's all messed up. I mean, Nico's got a Mets playoff race he's got to get ready for. There's not a lot of people we can really... Sorry, did I touch the money there?
No,
He's decked out head to toe.
Yeah, I was about to say, he looks like he played the outfield for the Mets today.
Yeah.
I like Nico.
Maybe in fantasy camp.
I like Nico. I'm not sure I'm ready to commit to 30 hours in a car with Nico to find his life story.
I'm kind of interested now. 855-212-4227. It's a lot of, and then what happened? And what'd she say? And what'd you say? All the way to Indianapolis and then continue. Stewart's in North Carolina. Let's talk about the Eagles and some of the game in-game decision-making last night that cost them. What's up, Stewart?
Good morning. Good show as always. You know, there's a time to go for it and a time not to go for it. And even Troy Aikman pointed out there's something to be said for getting an early lead in a football game. And the Eagles had a chip shot field goal early in the game and decided to go for it on fourth down. And at the end of the game, they could have used those 3 points.
Stuart, I know. I generally, though, when you have a quarterback like Jalen Hurts, like, I'm not opposed to it. I've kind of changed my stance on this. I think that sometimes you can't, early in the game is actually when you can afford to be more aggressive because you've got so many more possessions to try to make up for it. But I get your point.
Yeah, that was widely criticized last night.
The San Diego coach coached himself out of a job going for it on fourth down all the time throughout all parts of the game.
Brandon Staley. You know? Well, his defense stunk too, and he was supposed to be a defensive guy.
Yeah, but and when you look back on the Brandon Staley era, his early aggressiveness on fourth down was the first wave of criticism.
Yeah, but meanwhile, Dan Campbell, everyone's eating it up. The Applebee's commercials and all that stuff. Literally eating it up. Thank you, Stuart. Always a good call. Let's hear from Nick Sirianni. Of course, this is the Eagles head coach defending the decision to throw on third and three with under 2 minutes left to go. Falcons had no timeouts.
Yeah, you can't just be every time it's third and three, say you're going to run it, right? You got to teams obviously pick up on that. If you're every time you're third and three, you're going to run it every time and set yourself up for fourth down. So sometimes you got to throw quick. Sometimes you got to run it. Sometimes you got to set yourself up. Sometimes you have two opportunities to get it on third and three with two passes. Sometimes you have the opportunities to get it with runs.
And sometimes you overthink it. And that's what they did last night. They're trying to be what? You could have taken 40 more seconds off the clock if Barkley can't get to the first down marker.
You know, there were a lot of fourth down. I saw multiple teams do the same exact play this weekend, and it worked great. There were a lot of fourth and shorts where they peel the guy off the line. And, yeah, I think someone said the Browns did this in almost the exact same situation. If it had worked, we would not be talking about this. In fact, people might be praising Sirianni.
Sirianni also getting testy with one reporter asking if Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator, made the third down call.
Just to clarify on the calls, though, Kellen's making,
Kellen's the offensive coordinator that makes, Kellen's the offensive coordinator makes the calls, yeah, if you're trying to stir that up.
Listen, people, especially people in Philly, we're going to need to know who's got to wear it, you know? And listen, the thing is about Sirianni is the buck stops with him, right? You're an offensive-minded head coach who gave up play calling responsibilities because you wanted to be more about the game plan. He could have changed that play at any time, and he didn't.
Is that why he gave him up? I thought it was because everyone in the building knew Shane Steichen was a better play caller.
Well, then they should have moved out Sirianni and hired Shane Steichen, but they couldn't because they made it to the Super Bowl. But
yeah,
now how's Shane Steichen doing this year? But
Shane Steichen's a people guy. You know, he's a relationship guy. He's supposed to inspire his team.
I thought that's what Sirianni's supposed to be.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I meant Sirianni. Sirianni's a relationship guy. You know, he's not an X's and O's guy.
We have failed to name the one person who I think is actually to blame for this loss last night.
Can we hold that?
Yeah.
Well, you got another person that we haven't mentioned?
Yeah. He's the number one person for why the Eagles lost.
What?
Not Saquon Barkley?
We've named pretty much everybody out there.
I know. I'm shocked. I was waiting for it.
Wow.
Waited an hour and 16 minutes. They haven't heard it. I don't think I've heard his name mentioned. Maybe it was mentioned. I'm not sure.
We played a lot of dudes.
I know. I'm ready.
Bryce Huff, Vic Fangio, Kellen Moore, Nick Sirianni, Saquon Barkley,
Big Dom,
AJ Brown.
Did we mention Big Dom?
Did we talk about Jason Kelce too?
Because I know.
Jason Kelce?
We're going to hold it?
Yeah, let's hold it. Let's hold it. All right. We waited an hour and 16 minutes. We have to just wait a tiny bit more. EJ has the person who was really to blame for last night's Eagles loss. All right, we'll get to that. Also, we've got an update to our rookie power rankings. This is a weekly thing we do. Top five rookies in the NFL after week two. We'll get to all of that next.
Back on Maggie and Perloff, we are doling out a lot of blame to the Philadelphia Eagles for their dramatic loss to the Atlanta Falcons last night. I'm an Eagles fan, so I am, of course, leading this effort, except Maggie, EJ Stewart, who is back in the studio. It's great to have him back.
Yeah, it is.
Says that he has someone we haven't thought of. I feel like we blamed half the roster. So, I have no idea who this could be.
Before we get to who EJ's blaming, who are you number one blaming? Because last night in the game, it felt like you were number one blaming Saquon Barkley for not catching the ball in third and three.
That loss is on Saquon. That'll be the Saquon game.
Okay. I'm going to blame offensive coordinator Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni for calling that pass play when you had to burn way more clock and should have run the ball. That's who we're blaming. EJ has someone to blame that we have not mentioned yet.
So we've talked about Vic Fangio and that terrible drive at the end and the lack of tackling, all the issues the Eagles had defensively. We talked about Kellen Moore and his decision to throw the ball, which Sirianni, he acted like he wasn't throwing one in the bus, but then actually did throw one in the bus in that quote. But who hired those gentlemen?
I shredded Howie Roseman in the first segment.
Well, yeah, but we didn't say that he was the guy that actually brought him in. You didn't blame Howie Roseman for that loss. You blamed Saquon Barkley.
You did. You did mention Howie Roseman, but he got a little bit of a drive-by.
Yeah, it was a drive-by, and we moved on from him. He is to blame for last night's loss. He brought in those coordinators who Kellen Moore threw that ridiculous pass on third down, which gave them 40 seconds, and he hired Vic Fangio, whose defense Ben don't break and gave up the touchdown. It's all on Howie Roseman. He's the one who blamed to blame last night. I don't think there's any question.
Also, do you blame him for the vibes?
Right. He wanted Saquon Barkley. If you want to go down the road of whether or not Saquon's a winning or losing player, he brought him in too and paid him all that money. So I think it's pretty easy.
What do you think about Howie Roseman, Pearl?
I said in the first segment that Howie Roseman has obviously lost all his magic from 2012.
Okay, but you didn't blame him number one. EJ's blaming him number one.
5 minutes ago, and you did not. You said I didn't mention him now.
Take that away from it.
Bogus gets mad when I don't listen to him. I feel like EJ missed something.
Do you blame Howie Roseman first and foremost?
Of course. He signed Bryce Huff for $50 million. He's made nothing but bad decisions over the last 2 years. Bad decision after bad decision. I mean, the coordinators, whatever. It's the roster moves that have been driving me nuts.
But if you're going to say Fangio should be fired, then the guy who hired him is...
Well, right, but he's hired some version of Vic Fangio for the last 5 years. Like, Fangio was just a logical extension of Sean Desai and Jonathan Gannon. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's just the moves have been bad. Nolan Smith is a first-round pick. Where's he? Bryce Huff, where's he? There's just so many little decisions that have not worked out. The Jalen Carter-Jordan Davis combo up front sure sounds good. I mean, those guys are huffing and puffing by the end of the game.
I thought you loved the fact that they took the two DBs in the draft until you actually had to see one of them out there last night, I guess.
Well, no, I didn't. In the preseason, I could tell Cooper DeJean's not ready to go. Iowa cornerback.
Yeah, and he got put in a tough spot, and Mitchell's actually got lucky. Yeah. Mitchell's fine, but he missed that big tackle in the final drive and allowed, who was it along the sideline? Was that Drake London, too, to get another 10, 15 yards?
It might have been Mooney.
Mooney, thank you.
But, yeah, no, I'm with you, EJ. I think Howie's lost his magic touch, personnel-wise. The coaches, I understand, totally understand what you're saying. But you had a choice. Were you going to go Belichick this offseason, or are you going to go Sirianni? So to me, I'm not looking at him as the Fangio guy. I think it's his personnel moves. I mean, what happened to Nolan Smith? Is he alive? I have no idea.
Played pretty okay in week one. I was actually a little impressed, and then nothing last night.
You are welcome to weigh in, 855-212-4227, if you're watching Monday Night Football. By the way, congrats to the Falcons. Like, we do a lot of the Eagles side because Perloff is here and also because that was a brutal loss. So,
and also,
like,
ESPN made it seem like they were the only team that mattered last night. You have to admit that.
I mean, a lot of kills.
They're lucky that there are not a lot of Falcons fans, as Perloff mentions a lot in the show.
It's mostly Georgia Bulldogs more than Falcons.
Because that was any other NFL team.
People would be mad.
A lot of people being like, what was that in the third quarter? That was a close game. It wasn't like it was a blowout. Like, the game's in the balance. I speak for a lot of America. I think people do not like that. Like, do not make it about one team when it's a nationally broadcasted game. And I'm a Knicks fan, and I know that they do that with Stephen A. and the Knicks, and people don't like that either, and they're right. Knicks fans don't like it. We don't even like it either.
Yeah.
Like, do not make it about one team when it's a nationally broadcasted game. A lot of people just don't care enough about that individual team. They care about the NFL. They want to see what's going to happen. They care about their bets. They care about everything else. To make it about the Eagles last night so much was a bad move.
Well, also, it's not like the Falcons aren't interesting.
Right.
I mean, they might not have, like, this fan base that's foaming at the mouth to fire everybody after a week two loss like the Eagles, but they still are interesting because they lose that game and they were an eyelash from losing it. Do we get Michael Penix in week three? Do we get him in week five? What happens? There was a lot there.
By the way, I don't think they're anywhere near benching Cousins.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. You would have heard
it. It's just a little, the Falcons are a little boring. There was just like a lot of Bijan runs, a lot of screen pass. Like, Drake London and Kyle Pitts are still, for the most part, a rumor. They're not the most exciting team right now. And honestly, you thought got rid of Arthur Smith, they would sort of jazz it up a little offensively. They're still slightly boring. The Eagles are too.
Yeah, that first half was a snooze.
Yeah, it was not exciting.
Okay, we'll get to our rookie power rankings in just a moment. Let's get to Bogus' headlines, though, and we'll do that. What's up, folks?
These headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code MNP to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions. emotions and details. As we play the blame game, I'm surprised we have not mentioned the jet lag or the after effects of South American humidity for the Eagles after their season opener in Brazil. Maybe was missing their best receiver. Plenty of excuses to go around after this 22-21 home loss to those Falcons. Let's see what Nick Sirianni went with.
You know, we made some plays. They made more. You know, that's on all of us. That starts with coaching and goes to the, you know, to the players. We're all responsible for the loss.
His team led in the fourth quarter, but then came that debatable decision to throw on third down. Saquon Barkley dropped the easy pass, stopping the clock before a Philly field goal. So Atlanta got the ball back with roughly 90 seconds left, drove 70 yards for a Drake London TD catch, and then played a little defense.
Atlanta will rush five. Hurts back to throw. And as he throws, far side pass intercepted. It's intercepted on a slide at the 30-yard line of Atlanta. They're going to win it.
Jesse Bates the pick after Kirk Cousins went 5 for 6 on that game-winning drive, threw for a pair of scores overall, while his offense ran for 152, and that's how they got win number one under Raheem Morris.
I'm pretty easy going. I'm pretty steady, and I didn't come here to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, I was brought here to go out here and try to put us in a tough position to win championships, and that's what we want to do.
Both these teams are 1-1 this morning. The Panthers, as you've heard, are benching Bryce Young for Andy Dalton, and the Dolphins are not yet putting Tua on IR following his latest concussion, but they are signing Tyler Huntley off the Ravens practice squad. Long story short, in terms of roster rules, this basically guarantees Tua will miss at least 3 games. Skylar Thompson starts this weekend against Seattle. SEC football now does injury reports. Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian yesterday gave us a preview when it comes to Quinn Ewers.
When you guys get your injury report, he would be listed as questionable. Okay, so it's really, we're going to monitor him day to day and see what this looks like, but he would be questionable for Saturday on the report.
All because of last weekend's oblique strain. Arch Manning expected to start this weekend against Louisiana Monroe.
Yeah, it's about time. We need these college injury reports.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't feel like
I thought you meant it was about time on Arch.
Oh, no, yeah. No, but you guys so all know, it. I think, yeah. Arch. It's Arch time. But I think you don't have to give detailed medical information about people who might be like 18 to 19 years old. I get that. Maybe feels a little weird, but questionable. We can do that. We can do what hockey does, lower body injury, upper body injury.
And they're doing it for all of their sports. Like soccer and baseball teams need to file these things too before games.
Because you can bet on it.
Yeah.
And if you can bet on a sport,
you can
gotta
bet
have
on college. Yeah, I guess you
I
can.
Mean, that's what the Alabama baseball coach got in trouble for. He like knew, you know, he wasn't going to start somebody, so he gave a dude a heads up.
Yeah. And in my mind, with that scandal, which he got promptly fired for, he's calling from a payphone. It just in my brain, he's calling from a payphone outside the stadium. I haven't seen a payphone in 10 years.
Was he wearing a trench coat and a top hat? Nico's in his mouth.
Nico's probably never seen a payphone.
He's confused right now.
I've seen one on TV.
In movies, right? Yeah,
on TV.
Yeah, like Sopranos.
Sopranos, they love that payphone.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, that's the only way to properly execute a hit.
I remember I forgot my phone at home once. I actually had to go to a payphone to like call my mom. Like,
where'd you find it?
In college.
Oh, in college.
Oh, this is college, but still, this is like 2008, maybe. Like, which there were almost very few phones even back then, payphones. And when I tell you, like, the bodily fluids that were in there from New York City and the grime that was all over, I basically had to live in the shower for the rest of that day.
That's just where COVID actually started.
Yeah, that's where it began.
Near Times Square.
Yeah, payphone in the Upper East Side.
Upper East is not so bad. That's a little more expensive area code, but you get some bed.
By college campus, it's a little different here.
You're comparing a payphone to the wet market?
Yes, I am.
Going back to Texas for a second, though, Maggie, I don't think Sark killed your thought from yesterday. I was waiting for, because the headline was Sark says nothing changes. And I thought that was Quinn's our starter when he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I saw, he was not asked that. And he didn't say anything about what happens once Ewers is healthy.
Well, I was wondering, by the way, that he's saying that Ewers is possible. There's no reason to play Ewers against Louisiana Monroe.
No.
Right, except for one. you want to get him out there so you don't have to hear all these arch super fans like the woman to my right. Is it maybe you play you or is it half percent just to avoid the headache of dealing with it's time to play arch?
It's like you'd rather have him make the oblique worse.
Yeah, just to, it's worth
for
the
people
risk.
Like me.
It's worth the risk to keep Maggie at bay on the Arch Manning train.
Oh, fair. I'm pretty loud.
The Milwaukee Brewers took care of the Phillies last night, 6-2. That's a win for America. Milwaukee's magic number for claiming the NL Central is now 2 games. So another win tonight and a Cubs loss in Oakland gets that done. The Guardians have a magic number of 2 for clinching a playoff spot. They topped the Twins last night 4-3 with the Royals losing to the Tigers 7-6. Cleveland leads KC by 5 games in the Central. And Air Force has reportedly emerged as a serious target for AAC expansion. These talks apparently started long before the Mountain West, where the Air Force currently lives, lost those 4 teams to the Pac-2. If they do go to the AAC, they'd be in the same league as Army and Navy.
What's this Aaron conference? What is that?
That's the American.
What's the other A for us?
Athletic. Awesome. I'm not sure.
Can we name 4 schools? Not bogus, because he has to do this.
I don't know if I could get 4 either.
4 schools in the AAC. Well, this changes like every hour.
Military teams that he just mentioned.
Well, I would have guessed because Air Force is out in Colorado that this is sort of a mountain region time zone.
No, you would be wrong. Is.
Okay.
Yeah, I can confidently give you Memphis. Yeah. After that,
this is where Memphis is.
Okay. School, I'd be guessing.
There's one school Perloff should definitely know.
East Carolina.
Yeah.
Not the school I was thinking, but great call.
Well, I just think Memphis and East Carolina. Okay.
The natural rivals of the Tigers and Pirates.
At this point.
Wait, we did Middle Tennessee State is somewhere else.
Correct.
They're in Conference USA.
Yes.
What's the one that I should know?
Temple.
Oh, Temple. Oh, that's
no,
the energy
I'm
getting.
No, I'm sorry, EJ. Philly's team is Penn State.
Well, that's why.
Not, definitely not Temple football. I mean.
It's in your city.
Yeah, technically. But.
So is Drexel. He has no idea what conference they belong to, and it's not the AAC.
I thought that
Although
was
I just had to double check.
Okay.
All right, you got 2. You got East Carolina.
Wait, did you pull it up, Maggie?
Yeah, I've got
so you're like, EJ, can you take any other guesses? So we got
Tulsa? Navy, so do you want to take a stab at who else
no,
might
Tulsa's
be?
Tulsa's in a bigger conference.
Oh, whoops, I just gave it up. I mean, you have Air Force, so you might want to guess.
Well, EJ said he already said Navy.
Oh, okay, pardon.
So, yeah, the military teams we know. So now there's one more we need.
There's only one more team left?
Well,
no, there's
more team
14
to get 4 teams. This was the bare minimum.
We should know more. There's something like that's a drive from Cincinnati.
I feel like
right?
South Florida's in that conference.
Ding, ding, ding.
There you go.
There you go.
USF. Okay.
Miami plays them this week, so.
All right.
14. That's all
good
we got.
Good job, buddy, you guys.
Somebody mentioned a school and said they're not in it, but they are actually in this league.
Who?
A second ago, you just said, they're in a bigger league, but they're not.
Tulsa?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, I thought Tulsa might have been in there.
Okay. Yeah, well, give us a rest. This is death.
The U's, UAB and UTSA are in that. Florida Atlantic, Rice, Charlotte, the North Texas Mean Green. I think all the ones we haven't mentioned yet.
That conference actually makes some sense. Like, those teams probably all belong.
Yeah, because Army playing North Texas in basketball makes a lot of sense.
That West Point. Yeah.
From West Point to El Paso.
But East Carolina playing Tulsa.
The sun never sets on the AAC. Yeah, well,
as long as you have East Carolina versus Memphis, you're fine.
Yeah,
the rest is just filler.
That's fine.
Have you ever seen, by the way, and I only know this because my brother's a huge Memphis fan, so I've watched some conference tournament games. The empty arena that is there for their conference tournament games,
Ooh. It's
like, it looks like a high school gym in like a college gym. I think it's because they're playing just in a random city where you have all these schools from West Point to Texas, and you're playing in like Iowa. And they're not traveling to see Army versus UTEP in basketball in the first round of the AAC conference tournament. It is like, I'm like, this, they should be just like relegated at this point. Don't even show this on TV.
EJ, the fact that you would bring up the gate and the crowd is hilarious. You've been working in sports long enough. It's only about getting your games on TV.
I know, but it's bad. It's like, these are technically playoff games. These are postseason games, and there's 10 people in the crowd.
Somehow we've all managed to power on.
They played in the Dickies Arena in Fort Worth. I don't know what's there normally, but that's where they played last spring.
There weren't many Temple fans at that game.
Can I make an editorial
good pants,
suggestion
though.
Here? maybe in the middle of football season, we move past the AAC.
No. Coming up next, we break down the AAC. Even like more.
When EJ mentioned USF's offensive line, I thought maybe that was too much, the depth issue there.
All right. Would rookie power rankings mean more to you? You should be happy we're not talking about the Eagles. Do you realize how much more we're going to talk about this awful loss of last night?
Good
you
point.
Should be dying to talk about
good
the
point.
AAC.
Good point. Let's go back to Tulsa. How are they doing since Michael Pratt left?
Yeah. You should be begging us to talk about the AAC.
Dickies Arena in Fort Worth is the home of the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo.
Of course it is.
And I bet they sell out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, facts.
You know who's Texas? From Fort Worth?
Andy Dalton.
Andy, your
thank
guy.
You.
Robin Hood.
He was in attendance at that tournament.
Yeah, he was a ball boy growing up.
Honestly, if Andy Dalton could like lasso, do something like that, I'd be really impressed.
Why would you say could? Of course he can.
I don't know.
Lasso if a calf from the horseback?
I'm not sure he's a farm guy.
I don't think so either.
My guess is he's just whatever manly task you can come up with, he can do.
But you've seen that hair.
Yeah, that's the point.
You gotta look at early career Andy Dalton.
Like, it's beautiful.
No, no.
Right, and it comes out of the helmet like that.
That's not who Andy Dalton is either. Andy Dalton is, look at early career Andy Dalton. He does not look like a tough guy. I think you guys are getting fooled by the Viking hair.
I mean, he currently looks like a guy who's currently smoking meat while cutting down new lumber for the next fire. And he's fixing a car with his right hand and learning a playbook with his left. He just does everything.
Sounds like you're jealous.
Yeah. Why would I not be?
I don't know. I just didn't know that about you.
He has all his hair. It's a cool color. He's a pro athlete. Perloff actually likes him. He's all the things I'm not.
I know. Rich, famous.
He is the Panthers quarterback, I think.
Well,
in this case,
be
I might take Bogus's job.
And doing off-face starts on Monday. Pro Bowler Andy Dalton.
You got to play the Andy Dalton sound that you told me about, Maggie, that he was excited for this job.
Excited? I thought Bryce Young should check that he didn't cut the brakes on his car. I didn't realize he wanted this job that bad. Some guys just kind of want to be backups later in life, don't take a lot of hits, you know, you just sort of collect the check. And
No.
This not Andy.
Andy Dalton was actually, he's still pretty good. He's 35. It's kind of like Joe Flacco. Like, you never know. He could catch lightning in a bottle. Yeah,
why not? Who's he throwing to?
No, I know. I meant just globally, not in this specific situation. Not in Carolina, but just generally.
Listen, if Case Keenum can have a progressive commercial, why can't Andy have something? Does Just for Men not make red for their, you know? He could have a commercial.
Yeah. I have the backstory of how Case got that commercial. I'd forgotten. There's a lot going on there.
Oh, you want to tell us about it?
Well, it just had to do with he was supposed to be in a Baker Mayfield progressive ad because he was on the team with Baker and they loved him and he was going to be in this progressive. I remember Baker was Mr. Progressive. He had the house. So he was...
Oh, that he Case, lived at the stadium, right?
Yeah. Case was Baker's backup for a year and they had this whole routine and then COVID hit and they lost their whole thing. But they're like, Case is so darn funny. We got to get him in a commercial.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he doesn't say anything in the commercial. Literally not one line.
Yeah. But I mean, acting is more about your facial expressions.
Yeah. It's very method. Bogus, thank you. 855-212-4227. Well, if you're all tapped out of AAC combo, I don't know how you would be.
Maybe this I got is a the, podcast for you.
This is the wrong show for you.
There's definitely a podcast. I guarantee that.
Multiple. Okay, we get back to the actual NFL. No. We're going to do our rookie power rankings coming up next.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football is hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're going to do our rookie power rankings right now. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Hit it, Nico.
Which rookies are on the rise and whose stock took a tumble? Maggie and Perloff give their rookie power rankings.
All right, Pearl. Hit us off. Top five. Who do you got?
Okay. I am doing a theme. We're already in week two of rookie rankings, and I want to do theme. I'm doing all pass catchers in my rookie rankings. Obviously, it was an incredibly offense-heavy draft. I think the most offensive-heavy first round we've had. So that kind of makes sense. There were a couple linemen who were awesome, but they don't make the list this week. I'm starting at number five. Cincinnati Bengals rookie Jermaine Burton had to step up because T. Higgins is out, caught a 47-yard touchdown that could have been in a winning effort. The Bengals did not win, but I want to acknowledge him because he's kind of had an up-and-down road, you know, with the whole Georgia-Alabama thing, and that was a huge play. Excited about him. Number four, I'm going with Brock Bowers, Raiders tight end in name only. I mean, this guy is a weapon. I kept thinking back to this story about the draft that the Rams desperately wanted to trade up for Brock Bowers, and I really respect the Rams' ability to spot receiving talent. So Brock Bowers is a real deal. Really makes you excited as a Raiders fan. Number three, Brian Thomas, Jags superstar. Had another long pass. Not too much to be excited about as a Jags fan, but you can definitely be excited about him. Number two, I love this guy. EJ actually ripped him for having a drop. But Malik Nabers, 10 catches, 127 yards, touchdown. I think you grade him on a curve. He's Daniel Jones as his quarterback. He's so strong. He's like a strong Odell Beckham Jr. And number one, Maserati Marv. Marvin Harrison, 4 catches, 103 yards, 2 TDs.
Okay, nice list. We have a couple overlaps, but not too many.
Yep.
For the second week in a row, Talis Fuaga makes my list. Saints offensive lineman. Listen, the Saints offense, everything is going great for them. And he's out there in a really big spot. Derek Carr's got all the time in the world. Again, second week in a row.
Derek Carr gets rid of the ball so fast. I don't exactly know, but let's see if he gets tested.
He deserves to be on this list through 2 weeks. So Fuaga, the offensive lineman for the Saints, five on my rookie power rankings. Number four, I'm going to go with Braylon Allen from EJ's New York Jets. Big touchdown catch, the game winner with a tie game, 17 all, not much time left on the clock. And Aaron Rodgers clearly trusts this kid. Braylon Allen is number four on my list. Number three, let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Give me a little Kamari Lassiter from your Houston Texans. Big interception. That secondary is really scary for Houston. And he is not the only rookie, actually, to have a pick in these first two games. But I'm going to go with Kamari Lassiter as number three on the list. Number two, you mentioned it, Brock Bowers. I mean, 156 receiving yards over 2 weeks. He's been fantastic. Clearly, the Raiders have themselves a real weapon. And then number one, it's got to be Maserati Marv. Number one, over 150 yards receiving. Just glad he didn't do it against my Buffalo Bills. Instead, takes it out on the Rams and basically had an easy day. Very efficient, too. So those are my rookie power rankings. Talis Fuaga, Braylon Allen, Kamari Lassiter, Brock Bowers, Marvin Harrison Jr. So I've got four new people on my list this week.
You're not putting Malik Nabers in there?
Nope. He made it last week, but not this week. Big drop.
And by the way, falling to the ground.
Here's the thing, that do you notice something about both of our power rankings? Not a QB in sight.
Nope.
And this was the class we were like really expecting. And, you know, we'll give him a little more time before we bury him. But
yeah, I mean, I think that Bo Nix is not the problem in Denver. I think there's a coach that is not exactly getting the job done. Sean Payton, I know he has a long contract, but it's getting late early there in Denver.
I'll tell you what, you are in the minority. I don't think he's getting nearly enough heat nationally than he should, because it was a close game against Seattle in week one, and then you saw what happened in week two. I think the heat is off Sean Payton for now. I think you could be a little early to that story. Phil is in Pennsylvania. Phil, tough day. Storm clouds forming as you lose the game last night. Who deserves the blame?
It's all on Sirianni. Dating back to last year against Dallas, you know, like, what, 3rd-and-3, and they throw a deep ball. It's just simple decision-making. first quarter, you know, 10 minutes in, fourth and four at the 10-yard line, get the points, kick the field goals, don't let Atlanta have any momentum. I mean, third and nine, a telegraphed QB draw. And what's with all the illegal man downfield? Get the offensive line just stay on their side of the ball. And don't even get me started on the play at the end. I'm sure you went over it 50 times already, but just run the ball. You have the extra 3 points. It's a two-score game. I mean, just the little decisions at the beginning affect everything else in the game. I mean, it's just completely boneheaded. We need someone else in there.
Yeah, Phil, I mean, I hear you, and I get the frustration. I'll let Perloff take it from here, but, I mean, Nick Sirianni is the first coach fired. I said it the day after that big ESPN article came out, and I still stand by it. Pearl?
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of gave you a hard time because I'm like, well, if the Eagles are 7-4, how can you fire them? I mean, I pencil this as a win. I thought that Kirk Cousins coming off the Achilles would not be ready to beat them, and I think logically that's what happened. They should have won this game. All the penalties, a part of that is like some of the players are not great. Like Johnny Wilson, a 6th-round pick, he had one of the most obvious blatant holds that was completely unnecessary. I could have called that. Like, there's just so many dumb penalties because the players, you know, they are relying on a lot of sort of young, they have a lot of, I don't know, borderline pieces on that offense. So I'm not surprised. And, you know, you lose Jason Kelce, like, this stuff has an impact.
I think it's also, is it just a very kind of top-heavy roster?
Yeah, you know, exactly. That's sort of what I was getting at.
Yeah,
well said.
You're paying Hurts a lot. You're paying A.J. Brown a lot. Your offensive line.
Paying Devonta Smith a lot, too, now.
Devonta Smith also got paid. You mentioned the money for Bryce Huff. Some of the other guys on defense, I think, are a little bit cheaper, right? How much are you playing Slay? Is he expensive or no?
I think he might have already got his big deal before.
Meanwhile,
Blankenship, Slay, all these guys, even CJ, GJ who came back, not good.
Phil, thank you. I get it, the frustration with Sirianni. And now two big games on the road because remember, that game in Brazil was technically a home game for the Eagles, which also kills you. So now you've technically had two home games, you haven't. But now you go on the road for two at New Orleans and at Tampa Bay, which looks much tougher than it did 2 weeks ago.
Sure does.
All right, more on that critical third down play from last night next.